The internet, interesting place, has some rough stuff, but it also has some good things. And yesterday at the 4:30 mass, I just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and this group came in the back door, and it was a lot of teenagers, about 20 of them, dressed in green t-shirts, and the adults coming with them. And so I greeted them, and I was talking to the gentleman who was in charge, and I said, "Oh, welcome to Little Flower, where are you from?" He said, "We are from Wisconsin." I said, "Well, great." I said, what's bringing you this way? And he said, "Well, we're traveling to Virginia to do a week of mission work." So naturally, my next question was, how did you find out about Little Flower? Do you know somebody here or invited? How did you happen to find us? And his words were this: "I Googled." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I knew what time you were going to be in what area, and I just Googled, and your parish came up on the list. So here we are." So I think that's pretty incredible that we were Googled and we were first on the list. The second thing is I got brand new hearing aids, latest and greatest. You've heard me talk about them every now and then and what they can do and not do. Well, now they have an app, which means I can go on the smartphone, which is smarter than me, but go on my smartphone and touch the app for my hearing aids, and I can play with them. I can turn them up and down, do all kinds of things with them now. The best part now with hearing aids, with the new ones, you can go into a particular setting, put in there like a Little Flower, adjust it to where you want it to be, set it so that the next time you come, you push the button, and the hearing aids will change and do their thing to deal with however situation I'm in. I thought about telling you what the app was, but I'm not going to. It would be my luck. Somebody would be out there going, "Let's see what we can do to the deacon today." You know. So amazing, some of the stuff that goes on with apps and what they can do. I am so thankful. I mean this. I am so thankful. And when you stop and realize what a labor of love it must have been, and a long one for the people that were involved who set up the readings, the Old Testament, also the Psalms, and then a New Testament, and how they were laid out throughout the seasons. And today is the 13th Sunday in ordinary time, and what a labor and what a guidance of the Spirit there must have been in their lives. They probably didn't realize it at the time, but to come up with the readings that we have from week to week. And today's is extremely exceptional, that I feel, in the year B that we are in. Did you catch the first line of the first reading, what it said? It's amazing. It's good for us to know. Did you catch it? It said this: God did not make death. God did not make death. It says that in the Book of Wisdom. A little later, if you heard it, it says this: God formed us to be imperishable. That in the original creation, man and woman was not meant to die or be perishable as we are. You know, kind of like some of the dairy products we put in our refrigerators. They have a time limit and don't last long. But we were not created that way. But he created us not to be imperishable and took joy in what he created. And then the reading goes down a little bit longer. And it says this: that death and suffering came from the envy of the devil. It was the envy of the devil working in the garden that brought about what we know as death and what we know as sickness and the difficulties that we face. So next time you're in a tough spot, don't blame him. Blame the right person. It's a good thing to have, because it's good in his gospel today. God wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to come in and assist us throughout this time in our lives when things get difficult. In today's gospel, there's a beautiful demonstration of Jesus' time on earth, the demonstration of God's power over evil. And as you listen to the accounts of his life, and as he moved from one place to another, always trying to trip him, things going on, he demonstrated God's power over evil, and even in the case of today, death. And for both Jairus and the woman who was touched, I'm sure they were grateful for that. In the event of the woman with the illness she had, it said in the scriptures she heard. I don't know what she heard, what she pondered, or where she got it from, But all we know is that she thought if I could all but reach in and touch him, just touched his garment, I should be healed. And with the crowds pressing around and all that's going on, what did she do? She made her way through, found him, and without his knowledge, she thought, she reached in and touched him, touched his garment. And the scripture said she was healed. Interesting, Jesus knew something happened at that point, and I love what the writer says. He goes and says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples go, "Huh? What? What are you talking about? There's all these people pressing in all around you. They're touching you everywhere. What do you mean, who touched you?" But he knew that the touch that he felt was different because some of the power had come out of him to touch the lady. And the lady somehow realized what was going on and presented herself before the Lord and confessed what had happened and why she did it. And he didn't criticize her. He didn't yell at her. He said, "Your faith has made you whole." And then the story of Jairus, who had a 12-year-old daughter who was dying, he went to ask the master to come and touch his daughter that she might be healed. And so he agrees, and he's traveling. And in that process, while traveling, we meet the woman who had what we call the issue of blood. And then they're pressing around him. And while he's traveling to Jairus' house, the news comes back, and it's not good. And they said, "What? Hey, forget it. You don't need to come. She died. There's no sense coming. She passed away." Thank you that he didn't listen to them. Just like in the death of Lazarus, Jesus didn't get to him until 4 days after he died. And what happened to Lazarus? He was raised from the dead. He continued and pressed on, went to the house, and we hear the rest of the account. He went in, found the little girl, and she was healed and raised up. And one of my favorite parts, the first thing he orders is what? "Go get some food and feed her because she's hungry." But we see a glorious example of a couple people who within their heart thought, "If I could just get to the master, if I could just get to him, then maybe he can make a difference." And he did. Just like Jairus and the women, I'm sure there's some of us, and there are individuals today, I'm sure, who are being brought to the outer limits of our faith in God. That point where it seems like I've had enough, it's been so long, I don't want to do anymore. What are we going to do here? And I challenge you today, just like Jairus and just like the women, if you're at that point where you're at that outer limit of just can't quite want to do it anymore, I invite you to do the same thing that they did, is reach out to him and touch him. Allow him to enter in such a way that it can make a difference. Which brings me to the question I have for all of us to answer and within ourselves. In the time of our lives, when we face problems, and we're facing an uncertain future, and things are not happening like you think they should, we need to ask ourselves this: do I believe or not? Do I really believe this, what I've been taught? Do I believe this or not? And hopefully when you answer that question, you'll respond with a yes, I do believe, and allow God to enter into your situation. For Jesus invites all of us to a faith life which transcends above suffering, which transcends above the future. What does that mean, transcend? It means this, that your faith life rises above the problems. It rises above our concern about the future. Your faith rises you above all of that because you have a trust in him. He invites us all to the gift of peace and joy of a total faith. He invites us to a future ahead that is in his hands and in his control, and that we give him that. He invites us not to fear, but to have joy because of our names are written in the book of life. And so today, in a few moments, you'll be invited to come and touch his presence.
Let's stand.